The invocation and pledge will be given by Don Whipple. All rise.
Prayer first. Mm-hmm. Dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this opportunity we have to meet here as a community. We're grateful for our community leaders. We're grateful for the representatives of the government agencies that are with us this evening. We're grateful for our police officers that are in attendance. We're grateful for our military. We pray for them. Please bless them and help them to be safe. Please help us to be civil tonight. Help us to be able to discuss things in a respectable manner and treat each other respectably. We're grateful for the opportunity we have to have such events. We say things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Okay, my name is Margie Holland. I'm the chair of the Moapa Valley Town Advisory Board.
I'm Gene Houston, member.
I'm Kristen Pearson, vice chair.
Lois Hall, member.
Shannon is with Commissioner Kirkpatrick's office, and Megan is excused tonight. She's not feeling well.
Okay, the first thing is public comment. Anyone who can't stay until an item on the agenda is presented tonight, if you can't stay until the item is presented to make a comment when the item is presented, then you can speak now. If not, forever hold your peace until the item is presented. No one? Okay, we need a motion for the approval of the May 1st, 2019 minutes.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes from the May 1st meeting.
All in favor?
Aye.
I can't vote because I wasn't here then. Okay, we need a motion for the approval of the agenda for May 15th, 2019.
I'll make that motion.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, the first thing is informational items. The Nevada Department of Transportation, NDOT, to discuss present and future projects for discussion only. We have members from the NDOT here. You want to step up to the podium?
Hi, my name is Mario Gomez. I'm the Assistant District Engineer for the Las Vegas District. And well, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to talk to you all this evening. We do have, just to let everybody know, we do have three projects the next couple of years for years 2020 and 2021. We have a what we call a slurry seal. These are all surface treatments on State Route 169 Moapa Valley Road. And essentially, where we left off on the north end of the project on 169, which is by the mortuary, mm-hmm. We're coming all the way down. It's a 9-mile project down to the Lost City Museum, and that's what we call a slurry seal. That's our first project, and then around the Lost City Museum itself, we're doing some pipe repairs as well for drainage improvements, and then from Lost City Museum all the way down to the lake. Mead Park entrance, we've got a what we call a chip seal project going on, and that's a 6-mile project in itself. So that's what's going on for the next couple of years, 2020 and 2021. Total money that we're going to spend approximately is going to be $1 million for the slurry seal, about $50,000 for the drainage repair work, and about $180,000 for the chip seal project. And so with that, I'm not sure, you know, if you have any questions for me or.
Okay, for the drainage before the museum, is that at the dip? And exactly what is it going to entail?
Essentially, we're going to be putting a junction box there, and we're going to be doing replacing a pipe that's already there with a reinforced concrete pipe. You know, we had a discussion earlier before the meeting started that we may need to put, that's a low water crossing, a tremendous amount of water mm-hmm. goes through there. So $50,000 would definitely not even cover any of those expenses. So that's a more of a long-term, bigger project picture kind of thing. So definitely after looking at it this evening, I'm going to go back and revisit this issue about the $50,000 and what we're going to be doing with that, and maybe figure out how we're going to address the bigger issue, which is all that drainage water and all the mud that's coming down through there as well. I see the big pile of the dirt as well. So that's definitely something for us to consider. One other thing that I wanted to bring up as well is that when I did the I-15 and we had the flooding, there was a lot of communication with this area, and but that was more because of the emergency going on and some of the work going on I-15. But we've been talking at the planning section as well that maybe we need to have a workshop with this area as well, local community, and talk about some of the needs that are in this area.
Yes.
And then go back and take that information with us and figure out where we're going to put things in perspective when it comes to years of funding and how we're going to categorize it, whether it's drainage improvements or capacity, or, you know, we also talked about bicycles as well. So on the project that we did on 169 itself, we narrowed the lanes down a little bit to allow for a wider shoulder out there for the bicycle riders. So I'm certain that that's also an issue that we need to bring up with Bill Story, who's in charge of our pedestrian and bicycle program as well. So I think I answered your question a little bit too broad.
No, that's perfect. That's fine.
Did you get the sheet, the question and answer?
I did. I was just looking at it, actually. So
would you like to address any of those?
I would like to address these in the sense that I think I'd love to take this information with me tonight. And I know when it comes to crosswalks, we need to do a safety crossing count, pedestrians, traffic counts, those kind of things, and then get the right people involved, which would be our traffic section. So unless there's something in here that you definitely want me to really focus on or a really big concern, I'd love to take this information with me tonight and then get the right people involved so that we can do the right, give you all the right information and the right answer for some of these questions that you have.
Okay, on that slurry foot seal that you're doing, they put sewer in down the highway, and a lot of the manholes around, some of the manholes are sinking, and you got some pretty good dips.
Okay.
Slurry seal ain't going to fix that.
No. Slurry seal, what it does is it actually restores just the ability for the pavement to not to deteriorate from under the pavement structure and our base, anything under the road. And it also improves the stopping ability of cars. But when it comes to profile, there was a note, and when I was reading the limits and how much it costs, there was a note in there that addressed or talked about bumps on the road itself. So I presume that the cost for the slurry seal will also include some type of grinding and profiling and fixing up those uneven portions of it.
So the bumps coming into the valley where the pavement's raising up at the cracks, and then some of the dips that you got.
That is correct.
Plus you got a big, pretty good sized hole over at the bridge over across from Adams Ranch over there. Mm-hmm. They put temporary asphalt in there to fill it in.
What was this again? I'm sorry.
It's the bridge, the river crossing across the highway there over there.
Goobler.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll take a look at that.
It sunk for a big dip there for quite a while, and they finally come in and put some asphalt in it.
We do have a maintenance supervisor in the area, so one of my other goals is to reach out to him and have a discussion about, you know, they do a lot of work out here trying to maintain the infrastructure as much as best way they can with the money that we have, I guess, in the DOT for this district. So I'll reach out to him as well and seek from him, you know, any recommendations that he may have to better provide, stretch our dollars is what I call it, you know, do the best we can with the money we have. So
there's also one item on here, they're talking about making some OHV golf cart area downtown where it's allowed.
Okay.
Is that a possibility?
That's something that I need to address with Bill Story. I'm not sure what the entire mobility plan looks like for the rural parts of this district, so I'm unable to answer that question because of the right person isn't here, essentially. So, which is Bill Story? mobility person for the entire state. So he's got he's been communicating with a lot of the local public agencies, talking about what the master plan looks like. And now without me seeing that master plan in front of me, I'm not able to answer that question. Okay. But I will definitely address it with
you. Well, I guess that what I'm saying then, the questions have been given to you now. Is there any way that you could report back to us on what you feel that
absolutely. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And my other thing was maybe, and this is just a suggestion, as I was saying earlier, maybe a workshop would be better as well to bring in the right people and be able to, you know, answer better. With me this evening, it's more to give you an update of what projects are coming up in the next couple of years and just kind of introduce us as a DOT to, you know, say we're here and we're definitely here to help you as well. So, you know, we're here to connect with you all.
Okay.
So.
I think a workshop would be a good idea.
Okay.
Have the public here. And, yeah.
Yes. We will definitely, I'll definitely get that going as well.
Appreciate that.
Madam Chair, do you want to open it to public comment?
Yeah. Does anybody have any questions or concerns about this?
Just a couple of things.
Gary,
you want to state your name and address?
Gary Pearson, Logandale. I thought you all knew me by now.
Well, yeah, but we need it for the record.
I would like to have you consider a truck lane going up the hill from the mortuary to the top of the hill. As the traffic is getting worse and worse out here, no fault of Metro's, and they're going faster and they're passing going up that crazy hill, and somebody's going to get it sooner or later. And so I would like to have you consider, I understand it isn't going to happen right away, that situation. And also, as I understand, and Lois can probably verify this, there was an accident on the curve over by her business the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And as I understand, it blocked the traffic so you couldn't go into Overton or out of Overton for a period. And I'm not sure.
It was easy to direct traffic around.
Oh, there is a way around?
Took them down Lou to Briner. And
oh,
Briner
okay.
To
well,
Lou.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is it the right place for me to stand?
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah.
You're fine.
You're fine.
Joyce. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Okay.
Joyce Dorita, Lovedale for Ralph, okay? He wanted to add it to this list because most of this is related to our town, but end up Terrace Highways. One of his questions is already on here about the Wind River signs that we find out. Like, when you're leaving, when you're in Utah or Arizona, it'll say you got to move to the left. You don't want to need to, when people, the cops or somebody's over to the side track.
Okay.
And our highways should have it. The additional thing was, we were recently in Phoenix, and their highways, lanes are actually marked. So when you're driving in a lane, you're not looking for a sign. You actually see what lane, when you're in that lane, that you might be in the wrong highway lane when you go to move over. It's just some suggestions that we might want to think about for our highways as well. They were terrific directional signs. It's literally printed right on the highway you're on. So I'm just thinking.
On the pavement, you say?
Literally on the pavement of the highway. It said 101, 11, whatever it may be. So if you wanted to be in 101, 11 was over there, you knew you had to move over.
Yeah, I really like those signs. And actually, we're testing them out on in Henderson and Spaghetti Bowl. Because there's just no room enough for us to be putting all these directional signs.
And this way, you're much further back, and when you all of a sudden got to a second, you realize you're in the wrong lane and just had to move over before you suddenly got to a spaghetti bowl and had to make a change.
Okay.
So just in some things we'd like to see.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can I get your two questions in?
Good evening. Daniel Rose, Lowdale, Nevada. I'd like to address it, and he touched on it briefly, the crosswalks that are along the boulevard. There's numerous, I believe there's at least seven along the boulevard that need to be addressed. I know when they redo the slurry, those will be done, but we also need some type of flashing signs or lights on those things. I know you can do it solar, so you don't have to run power, but there are certain times of year, especially the ones out here, when you're driving this way, you can't see the signs because of the sun coming up, especially taking kids to school. I don't know how much this is gonna cost, but I do know the cost if somebody gets hurt or dies in one of those crosswalks is gonna be tremendous. So I think that should be a priority.
Okay, are those crosswalks in here? Or other than these that you have here?
I think those are, yeah, those are
five, six, seven, okay.
Thank you.
We do have safety money,
mm-hmm.
and it's situations like this. I'll get the right, Lori Campbell is the lady's name, and she's in charge of the program, so I'll reach out to her as well and address this.
We'll take it.
Ready for me?
Ready for you, Don.
All right. When I'm done, I'll just say the closing prayer.
Say your name. And
Don
say
Whipple.
Your name and your
ad. Logandale.
There you go. That's good.
Very good. Lifetime resident. Yeah. Actually know Mario from the previous project. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk about the previous project. In 2017, Mario and his staff were super helpful in getting the road widened as far as, you know, changing the striping. Excellent with communication. We had a great experience and we made it a lot safer road. At that time, we met a guy named Kent Steele, and that guy was a designer for NDOT. And at the time, he told us that $15 million was going to be allocated for the 169 Wapa Valley Boulevard for all of us from the mortuary. Actually, it was going to go from Dead Man's all the way to the lake. It was going to tie in the federal all the way up there. What they were going to do was add at least 4 foot wide shoulders, turn lanes, and the climbing lane that was just requested. Yeah. I have been in contact with NDOT, and Kent Steele has retired, as you know. And what we have come to find out is the plans have either been scrapped or lost. I propose, as a town board, and since we have you here, that we resurrect those set of plans, and we bring them back, and come to find out it's everything that we're asking for here. We're already on that set of plans. I don't know about they consider the drainage issues or whatever, but. Anyway, it was fantastic. So I just wanted to briefly just talk about some of the things that we would like to see. Safe routes to school, for example. Some of the largest subdivisions in our community don't have bypass to the school. Take the Lake Valley subdivision, for example. There's got to be 100 little rascals in there that go to the elementary school. And they only need a half mile, and they're connected to the bike path to the elementary school. But what about having 4 foot shoulders on both sides all the way down through the valley so that our kids could get to the middle school? There is no bike path to the middle school, which is down here in Overton. Mm-hmm. Other things that we'd like to see, especially from the mortuary, you're talking about doing the slurry sill. I think that you brought up that you're probably not going to fix the cracking and the broken asphalt from the mortuary all the way down. We call it, I think it's Lyman is the name, changed the road to now. It used to be Cottonwood. So from the mortuary to Lyman, the road is just, it's in bad shape, and if you just slurry seal it, yes, it's going to look better, but it's not going to fix the cracking problem.
They'd have to do some type of rotomill even to do it decent.
Exactly, and that was going to be my point. When they did the sewer project, they widened the road. They moved the road over so that they could do the sewer. It was an excellent idea if we actually had that wider road, because now you can come back and do maintenance on the sewer when you needed to, but it also provided the turn lanes in the dangerous areas of the community if you did that all the way up through the valley. I realize that's expensive, but it would allow for future maintenance. And I do know that the sewer entity, the Reclamation has plans to take the sewer all the way to Wells Road. So when that happens, we're going to have the same problem again, that they're going to have to widen the road. Why not just leave it widened? So I think that would help. As far as the manholes, though, now, I would recommend if you get a chance, just drive from here up to the hotel over the manholes. You'll get high-centered in your car, and there's some bad ones. I would recommend turn lanes at the mortuary, at Whipple. Extend the turn lane from the Logandale Park to Liston, a turn lane at Valley Heights. Indian Hills, I can just give you my notes and we're done.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Pinwheel. Pinwheel, Cottonwood, Bader, Ramos Ranch, extend the turn lane from the hotel to Whitmore. Very dangerous on that corner, many accidents there. And Lou, which is just right up the road here. There's people in this audience right here that have had people in their family die at some of these locations because it's 55 to a turn and they just can't stop in time. Mm-hmm. Again, the climbing lane, I was going to talk about it, but I know it was on that set of plans. I know we discussed it back in 2017. I don't know if this is the time or place, but what about a bridge at the Overton Wash if we're doing improvements for drainage? Yes. What about doing a box culvert there? Mm-hmm. And then just lastly, our vision would be the vision that Kent Steele had back in 2017 is let's make this a safe place. Let's make a place where it's safe for bicycles, mm-hmm. for pedestrians, for everyone, and also safe for vehicle traffic. So that's my suggestion. Thank you for the time.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, thank you.
You can email me.
Very good. Tom Morris, 1475 Palo Verde, Overton. My concern relates to the Moapa Valley Boulevard just south of Gubler. Back in 2015, the flooding took out the roadway on the edge of the boulevard there. There used to be a 15-foot stretch of dirt there. Now it's reduced to about a 3-foot stretch of dirt and a vertical embankment. First storm we have coming through this summer is going to eat that dirt out, and it's going to eat right into Moapa Valley Boulevard. So this may be a regional flood control district issue, but it's going to have impact on our main thoroughfare through the valley, which does impact you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other public comments?
He had one more. Do I have to get up again?
You have to get up again.
I can give you the mic.
Sorry. He just can't get up. I can do it. Doreen Starita, Lovedale, Farrell.
Okay.
The continuity of speed limits on Moapa Valley Boulevard. If you've driven it, you know what I mean. We jump from one speed. So you
know
exactly what
I mean.
There's no rhyme or reason to it. Okay? Thank you. All right.
Okay, here comes Metro.
Sergeant Anthony with Metro here in Overton. You know where I live. You know where I live. Sorry. I normally don't talk because of my position, but I'll say this to start with. Again, the boulevard is not ours. That's NHB's.
Mm-hmm.
We have concurrent jurisdiction, but they're primary, so we're going to pipe in, but I don't want to tread on any of their toes, and maybe they've already made these suggestions. We'd like to see, first of all, we are the only OHV-friendly community in the county. We've made application to the state several years ago, and we've been fighting it for this for a long time. We got it for a few years ago with the county. But one of the designations that we need is to have the State Highway Department get on board with designating a portion of the state highway to be OHV-friendly. If that involves widening the highway or reducing the speed limits, so be it. But as it stands now, we have a big recreation area on the east side of our valley and a big recreation on the west side of our valley. You cannot connect the two without paralleling the state highway. We do our best to give warnings and not to just hammer people. Most of the people that are using the paralleling the state highway are from out of town and don't realize that we're not Utah and just completely OHV friendly everywhere. So that's the first thing that needs to happen. When we started that process, we were given notification from the county or from the state that we needed to provide how the road was built, how wide it was, what the angles, what the slopes were, what the material was. And my perspective was, I don't know, sure, road, you tell me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we never did get that designation out of the state, and so we're still fighting with this OHV friendly issue, at least for us. Certainly with NHP as well. We've made great progress, but we need to finish up that ability to cross from one side of the valley to recreate to the other side.
Sarge, we drove with Mary Martini. We drove around with Mary Martini, and
okay.
We designated areas, and we thought that we were good to go. And then she came back with some crazy request of encroachment permits and things that were going to happen to let folks drive, and that's where it died. You can cross Moapa Valley Boulevard, you just can't drive along.
And so why would you have to have encroachments when it's a state highway?
A couple of reasons, I guess. If it was for, I think what she was looking at is when it comes to an encroachment permit, it would be something that's not designated for the highway, but it's allowed to be in place. And so therefore, if there was no funding, then it would be done by the community to develop this trail or this road for OHVs, and therefore that would maybe be the fastest way to get this built.
What was it going to be though?
It could be as cheap as putting up some signs saying start here and
there, OHV.
The only thing that we actually need to have that cover, because there's a state statute that requires it has to be two miles or less, continuous miles or less. And in our head it was from Wells, currently Wells Road, all the way down to Gubler. That's just under 2 miles, and that will, what it allows you to do is to cross the river on one of the bridges,
mm-hmm.
and you'll catch the bridge right there, just north of the Logandale Park. And then the second designation would be from about Briner here downtown Overton out to Museum Road. And that gets you from a bunch of connecting roads with the county roads from one side of the valley to the other. But the main thing was trying to get people across the river. Some of the other things that we would like to see as, not our highway, but as metro officers, we would like to see another street light put up at Whipple and State Route 169. That's a common crossing. It is also a designated OHV crossing, but it's not. There's not enough light there at night. That crosswalk doesn't get maintained probably as much as it needs to be, and it would be probably be beneficial to throw up a, even if it's solar powered, a yellow flashing crosswalk. That would be helpful. We would agree with those comments about the Overton Wash. If it rains, we cut off our southern route, leaves us with just one left. And if you go even further south and you get down toward, or just past Simplot, there's another section there that ends up underwater, and the state has to come in and clean it out every time. Officer Bradford, what am I missing? There's a whole slew of things that we were thinking of. When we rode with, what was her name?
Mary Martinez.
Mary. We had just recently experienced a rollover into the river at Yamashita. She looked at it, and it was actually her idea that said, man, we need to extend this guardrail. We would love to have that guardrail extended. There's a big exposure on the curb or just prior to the curb that if you make it all the way to the guardrail, you might not make it into the river. But if you don't make it to the guardrail, you're going swimming.
Speed limit sign on Lewis. We talked about speed limit.
Speed limit.
Yeah,
oh.
We'll definitely look into that.
And maybe something that will attract attention to it. I think it would be great if we could get the state to fund it, because we don't have the money, but not a speed limit sign, but a speed radar sign. We have lots of visitors that come, and we do have a few locals, but lots of visitors that come into town that completely disregard the speed limit sign, never see it, although it goes from 55 to 45 to 35 to 25. They're still zooming through downtown Overton at 50 miles an hour, 45, 50 miles an hour. And when you talk to them, they just plain old didn't see it. It's not the state's fault, it's not my fault, it's their fault, they're driving. But if we can do something to help that out, that would be helpful. It's 25 down here, and this is our downtown area. So what foot traffic we have and what common traffic we have locally is right down here, and we're going to have a big guru. One more, Bradford, any more? I'll save my piece. If I think of something else, I'll let you know.
Well, you had a meeting with my boss, Mary Martini. When was this? Has it been more than a year, possibly?
Or? Oh, yes. Okay. 3 years ago?
15 or 16.
Okay.
3 or 4 years ago?
Do you happen to have any notes, maybe on some of the topics that you discussed?
Maybe.
I'd love to see those. Maybe I can help you also.
Sure.
Maybe, because I'll reach out to her as well.
And Michael Yates and Mary and me and it was a police officer. It's too long ago, sorry.
Okay.
But I'll look.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, during the meeting over in Vegas, did you see a bunch of people in the room?
Right.
That'll help
me find the emails if they're still on our server. I'll let you know.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming.
And like I said, we'll definitely get the workshops going. I've already been talking to Lee Bonner, who's the person from Carson City who does all the organizing for the state, and we'll definitely be in touch. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, under planning and zoning. 060419 PC is CP19900180, that the Moapa Valley Town Advisory Board consider proposed changes to the transportation element of the Clark County Comprehensive Master Plan, and after conducting a public hearing, take appropriate action.
Good evening, Madam Chair. Board members, Antonio Popazin here with Jason Oswing from Clark County Public Works. We're here to discuss the amendments for the transportation element. I want to say thank you for having us tonight. Well, I would like to note before we get started, and I think it's very important, that this amendment does not create easements, does not create roads, does not create dedications of roads, and it does not vacate roads. This is just for a designation. I will go line item by line item. I'll give you a brief description, and Jason will go into a little more explanation of each item. And at the end, if we have any questions, we'll be more than happy to answer.
Thank you.
We have, I don't know if it's easier for you guys to see or for the members to see, but we'll start at the top. Change number 41. It's the description is Moapa Valley Boulevard. We're changing from an arterial 100 feet to state highway. It's right away for NDOT through the whole valley. I'm not sure if Jason needs to go into describing that in more detail, but it's a state highway, so that's what the first change will be.
So what is it now?
It's shown as a 100 foot arterial road, and it's a state highway.
So you can change the wording to call it a state highway.
Right.
Okay.
Got that.
It's simple change. That's what it's designated. That's what it should be.
So these are verbiage changes.
Correct. And most of these, most of the items here today in front of you are cleanup items. That's been like this for a long time. However, there will be some added changes as well as cleanup. So we'll go into map or the change number 42. Various road designations which extend beyond the grid pattern remove designations as arterial 100 plus. And collectors 80 plus throughout the valley. Is that all?
Correct.
You don't want to go into any detail on that one, Jason?
I think you covered it.
Thank you. Change number 43, Googler Avenue, change to collector 80 feet, from 80 feet to a collector 60 feet west of Moapa Valley Boulevard to Pioneer Road.
So that change 43, dropping it down to a 60 foot right away instead of 80. At 60 feet, if we were ever to actually build it out to that and take right away dedication, we'd be looking at taking some people's homes. So we want to reduce that so that we don't have to have a right away that would cut through houses.
Plus, it goes to the railroad track and stops.
Change number 44, Rice Street, transitioning to Navajo Avenue, change to collector 60 feet from collector 80, and no designation on the west side of Moapa Valley Boulevard.
Is that for the same reason it'll take?
Yep, so that's the same reason. We have 60 feet of dedication. We do have some less than 60 in some of those areas, yeah. But again, yeah, so that we don't need to go through people's properties through their homes.
Change number 45, Whitwer Avenue, designated as collector 60 between Rice Street and Pioneer Road.
Okay, so that is being designated as a collector. We do have all the right-of-way in that area except for the one on the northwest corner. So that designation would just allow us when that if that property were to come in and do any kind of development, we would get that extra right-of-way so that we had the full width of right-of-way in that area.
Change number 46, Pioneer Road, extends south on the west side of the railroad and designate as collector 60 feet between Whitmer Avenue and Joan Avenue alignment and between Cottonwood Avenue and Ryan Avenue.
And so that change, adding that as a 60-foot collector street, that'll provide us the ability to have connectivity on the west side of the railroad so that we have a road network that would work. And I know we'll get into SWAP, which is on the east side. We'll talk about why Pioneer is a better option for us.
Change number 47, SWAP Drive. Remove as a collector 80 feet west of Lyman Street.
So, as I just said, Pioneer on the west side would allow us to remove SWAP on the east side. That section of SWAP, same thing as the other ones. There are houses right through the middle of where that road would be. So eliminating the potential for right-of-way there would save those homes.
Map change number 48, Lyman Street and Cottonwood Avenue. Change from collector 80 feet to collector 60 feet on the west side of the railroad tracks.
Is that for the same reason again?
And also as we get farther west of the railroad tracks, we start to get into some terrain issues. And needing, there's no, not necessarily a need for wider streets in that area, but we do want to designate at least something for connectivity, and that would be the same.
Change number 49, Joan Avenue, change from collector 80 feet to collector 60 feet between Lyman Street and Moapa Valley Boulevard.
No, it is that one.
So again, same type of issue. This is Jones on a grid alignment for us. There is no need for us to do an 80 foot. We have varying right of way width there, and 60 feet would serve the needs of the community.
Change number 50, Higher Street, remove designation as collector 80 feet between Moapa Valley Boulevard and Cottonwood Avenue.
So on that one, we don't have any existing right-of-way, and we're going to show you some alternatives with the next items that would provide that connectivity that's needed.
Change number 51A, Pinwheel Street, designate as collector 60 feet between Moapa Valley Boulevard and Willow Avenue. You want me to just go through all of those?
Yeah,
okay. 51B is Willow Avenue, designate as collector 60 feet between Pinwheel Street and Palo Verde Street. 51C, Palo Verde Street, designate as collector 60 feet between Willow Avenue and Cottonwood Avenue.
So between those three streets, Pinwheel, Willow, and
Palo Verde,
will provide that connectivity from Moapa Valley Boulevard down to Cottonwood. With some of those other changes, removing right of way or removing the designation where we really don't have any chance to get the right of way, this alternative will work for us. We have right of way in that area, and we have the opportunity to get more right of way in the future.
Change number 52, Swap Street, remove designation as a collector 80 feet between Cottonwood Avenue and Higher Street.
Same as the other portion of Swap. Mm-hmm. Houses are in that area, and no need for us to take right away, again, to eliminate houses.
Change number 53, Anderson Street, remove designation as collector 80 feet between Lou Jean Avenue and Joan Avenue.
So that section of proposed road would cut through the runway at the airport. And so we thought that might be a bad thing.
It might be a bad thing, yeah.
A little problem. Might be a little problem.
Change number 54, Cottonwood Avenue, remove designation as a collector 80 feet between Cooper Street and Deer Street.
Right, so if you thought 53 was bad because it goes through the runway, 54 is even worse. It cuts like right through the middle of the runway of the airport. So no need for a road in the middle of that.
There is no need for a road there.
Map change 55 is Ramos Ranch Avenue, designated as a collector 80 feet between Cooper Street and Mormon Mesa Road.
Want to do 56?
Sure. Also, change number 56, Muffy Street, remove designation as collector 80 feet between Ramos Ranch Avenue and Lee Avenue.
Cooper's already been realigned. And then if you can see this small section that we're removing of Muffy Street, that's no longer needed since the Cooper realignment eliminated the need for that. And then 55 is the small section of Ramos Ranch that would connect the new Cooper Street over to the existing Cooper Street.
Change number 57, Thomas Avenue, designate as a collector 80 feet between Anderson Street and Moapa Valley Boulevard.
So that's on our, that's a grid alignment, that's a quarter section line, or the half mile street. And so generally we try to get the half miles at 80 feet. We do have dedication in that area at 80, and that is in the downtown area. So that would just add that designation as the 80-foot collector street.
And last but not least, change number 58, Thomas Avenue, designated as a collector 80 feet, extending east 1/2 mile, then north 1/2 mile to Ryan Avenue.
So east of those changes, we do have a significant number of private parcels. Where the 58 is shown, that's currently BLM land, but in order to provide for future connectivity to other streets that are already designated, we wanted to add those as collector streets. Again, those are our half-mile roads in that section.
That concludes our presentation. We'll be on standby just in case there are some questions. I'm sure there will be.
Are there any comments or questions from the audience? Come on up.
Tom Morris, 1475 Palo Verde, Overton. I have concerns with 51B and 51C with all these collector lines. I know you're not redesignating right-of-ways or we're not building roads at this time, but I've got a question why we're creating a cut-through from Wyoming Valley Boulevard down to Cottonwood. It's a calm, quiet neighborhood. We have local traffic that's residential. We started putting a cut-through between Pinwheel, through Willow, into Palo Verde. We're only offering high-speed traffic through what is already known as a calm, quiet neighborhood. We have Lyman and Swap that make that conversion between that area. Why would we create another cut-through in that area? It doesn't make sense. A lot of the easements aren't available in that area. I live on the corner of Palo Verde and Willow. Palo Verde ends 300 foot short of Willow. They're going to have to take out my garage, my trees, half my property, my driveway in order to complete Palo Verde through to Willow. These are not designated right-of-ways right now, so I'm not understanding why we're going to create a collector line in that area or designated a collector roadway when the alignments don't match up to make that connection, and all we're doing is creating more traffic through the neighborhood. Thank you.
Lyle Jones, Overton. 51B comes 3/4 of the way across my property there and stops at Palo Verde. Another 60 feet would get you clear across my property. I'm not understanding. It looks like you have clearance from there on over to the next street, which is St. Joseph. I'm not sure why you wouldn't go clear across it rather than just part way.
Do you want to address either one of these questions?
We'll go ahead and obviously any questions that are addressed to the board. If you want us to address any of that, please let us know, or if you want to wait until everyone's done.
Are there any other comments from the public?
Gonchonk of Moapa Valley, Nevada. I had a question about 55 and 56, just to understand, based on what you explained, you're not going to be using Muffy Street there anymore. So I just wanted to understand how the flow will go with Cooper, I guess, to the east, to the front of the airport, then a left turn and a right turn back onto Airport Road. And I was also wondering if you're doing any other realignments of Airport Road further north. I've heard some people talk about that own property around Anderson, that you were moving Airport Road to the west. I don't know if there's any truth to that. And when you are not using Muffy Street anymore, we own some property around there, are you then vacating your right-of-way or open to vacating your right-of-way, or are you keeping that?
Comment on 51B.
Can you state your name and where you're from?
Jacob Levitt. I own the property on Victory Joy.
Thank you.
Okay, I got a problem with this one. Okay? That border right up there, what are you guys doing? This isn't Vegas. Stop it. You hear me? This is a problem. That is a road with property, people living on it, enough.
Which road are you referring to?
Willow.
Willow?
Yeah. That's a real problem. Okay? Why do we need that road?
Madam Chair, do not address the gentlemen who are here from Las Vegas. Please address the board.
Fair enough, Jan. This is a problem. Okay? This is a small community. This is a dirt road. Leave it a dirt road. There is nothing needed to expand it. Okay? There's no reason for it. Other than who? The property owners that live on it, which another, Jan, I have a problem with. Where's the accounting for the notices? I spoke to a couple other neighbors. They didn't even know about this. So you got a problem on notice, legally, which I'm willing to challenge. Okay? You can't make a decision without proper notice. NRCP 4, you have to put it in. We have to know. Okay, this is... We're against it. All the families that live on it, I can name them off, they were surprised. Okay? Our kids go up and down it. What is the purpose of this road? Expanding it. There is none. Thank you.
Thank you.
Greg Cleveland, 1360 West Cottonwood, Overton, Nevada. Some of the papers that you have in front of you, I provided you. And I'd like to, first of all, thank you guys for your service and the police officers for this week. It's their week. I had the opportunity to get two notices. I have a large parcel consisting of five parcels on the west side. So when I got these notices on Monday, I immediately called Clark County. Talked to a very nice gentleman there, Garrett. He gave me some names. I placed calls to Antonio three times. No calls back during the day. I told him the urgency. I did get a call about 4:45. Missed that call because I was trying to get the phone out of the pocket. Called him right back. No answer. Called again first thing this morning. Said, please call me. No call back. So I stopped in the office today. And I want to address this one thing, that this is not an easement, we're not taking anybody's property, we're not doing anything. I asked him today, I said, can I build, can I do something on that or near that? Well, no. So as I look, my main concern here today is 46. I will also address the last gentleman's concern about notices. And what I'm telling you is what my conversations with Antonio today. And I asked him about the notices, and he said he did not believe we had to be noticed. It was not something that we was required. So this came from Clark County. My concern is that this is happening, being done without our small community's input. So when I asked how did this come about, and again, my concern is on the west side. We have a lot of flooding problems over there, a lot of issues. So to be changing roads and adding and doing different things, my thing is, where does this come from? Why are we, you know, what's going on? Are they working with other agencies, you know, to do this? So as we further talked, he explained to me that, again, this is done. It really is done. We, you know, hopefully have a lot of people here today, but it's already a done deal. We can't change. Pretty much it's done to be voted on. And that concerned me as, you know, as a property owner, I would like to just have some input. So I said, Who was the input? How did you get this? Who are the people? So I was given different names, his boss, his boss's boss. And I said, well, who did that? And he said, I said, from the community? And he said, well, a gentleman that's retired, somebody that worked for the county. And I said, okay, well, who was that? He didn't know the name. He texted to try to get that, and I have that name. And I said, okay, who is that person? I need to know who you spoke to. Who in the community? And he waited and waited. And finally, about 15 minutes later, he said, Terry Berkland, he's a retired county employee.
Not retired.
I know. I've learned that. So this is what the people in Vegas are doing. And again, they do a good job. I'm not here to badmouth them. They're trying. But on this west side specifically, we have a lot of drainage issues. So I contacted Regional Flood, talked to Abigail, very nice lady. She provided me some of the maps you see, and I've spoken to them over the last 15 years since I've had my ranch. And I told them, I'll cooperate, I'll help, I'll do things with the community. I let the church, let the people camp out there. I do stuff with the archery club. If I can help, I will help. And I've told them, I will work with you with flood control to help whatever we need to do with my ranch. I have over 100 acres. And to have them say that this is a done deal, nothing can be done without, we need responsible development. We need this. And to put, just start putting in roads, it looks good, especially on the west side. If we want to eliminate some roads, that's fine. But to add additional right now, I would say we go slow. Before we add additional on the west side, we just, you know, let's get some responsible. Let's work with the flood control. The flood control, one of the map, or a couple of them that I provided you, they have detention basins planned. They have that coming up. They already have their ease where they plan them. They didn't work with them at all. I asked them, and they said, well, I talked to flood control. They had not. So before we go put these roadways, my suggestion is that we plan. We plan on that west side, and it's gonna take some time before we see development on that side. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? One more.
Jan Schultz, live on the end of Cottonwood, 1265 West Cottonwood in Overton. I was looking at the map, and they have got Pioneer on the west side of the railroad tracks, and there is supposed to be a flood control channel that's put in there. It's the bottom of the list, but even though we are the ones that flood 3 and 4 times a year, we are last on the list to get anything done. So how are you going to put a road in there, and with the railroad's got a 100-foot easement, 50 on that side, then what is it going to take to do the flood control ditch and then put a road in there too? Because we have a definite problem. It's like somebody's not communicating with the flood control department on where they're putting all these. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Remember, we have, huh? Do what?
No, I was asking.
I think it's 52. I don't know. It's Cottonwood and Swamp or Lyman. The floodwaters go over, take out my driveway, and I replaced the sewer line. I mean,
you want to state your name? You want to state your name?
Myself.
You want to state your name?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
My boss didn't tell me to. Robert Schultz, 1265 Cottonwood West.
Thank you.
So I'd like to know how I can keep that water from taking out my driveway and the neighbors, she's crippled up but she can't get anything done. And her driveway is about gone now, but I've redone mine about 3 or 4 times. And the oxygen tank is kind of worn out my tractor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other public comments?
John Jolly, 265 Lee Avenue, and my concern is when the Cooper Street Bridge was rebuilt, which they did an amazing job on. When the Cooper Street Bridge was built, they pushed Lee Avenue across through the wash and connected that road. That was previously a dead end to, I believe, Deer. Now it's still a road through the wash, but it gets washed out and rebuilt about 4 or 5 times a year because there's no culvert, there's no flood control. It's not even really a connected road. When they did the Cooper Street Bridge project, they built that road through the wash because they needed to get water back and forth for that project, which is fine. My concern is every time it washes out after every rain, it's a huge danger to anybody coming through there. Also, it's a blind hill coming up and coming down both sides, and it's a non-paved dirt road, so it's not very wide. I live right at the corner. I see the cars coming through. I've talked to the county workers out there rebuilding the road multiple times. I've asked them, let's build this road right. Let's put in, drainage so we don't have an injury every time this road washes out. I was told basically, there's no speed limit signs, there's nothing. So I've purchased my own signs to put up my own signs on the road on my property, reminding people to slow down because they can't see what's coming up through the hill and it's through the wash. It doesn't doesn't matter to me whether the road's there or not. I just wish we build it appropriately so it doesn't wash out five times, which can't be cheap to continue to repair and just do it right. I feel like we're looking at the future of all these roads and building our community, but we haven't even taken care of the roads that we got right now that we're actually using. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Okay. Do you want to address any of these?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, really, 51 ABC. Again, as we talked about, we, on the higher alignment, we have no ability to get right of way there. We actually already do have right of way for Pinwheel. We have 30 feet for Willow existing. And we have the right of way for Palo Verde. What happens is when somebody comes in to develop their property, we would get the dedication from that property owner. But first, I just want to talk about, I apologize, I should have done this first. What's before you is a master plan. So this is one of the elements of the comprehensive plan. So the planning department is responsible for preparing a master plan, and there are a number of different elements within that plan. One of them that you're all most familiar with is the land use plan. Mm-hmm. So you have the Moab Valley land use plan that dictates planned land use and goals and policies for development within the valley. This is the transportation element. That's just another one of the elements within the master plan. Pursuant to state law, we're required, planning is required to do this transportation element. What's before you is primarily a cleanup of items that have been brought over the last probably 10 years or so, where we've lost the opportunity to secure right of way, or we've allowed houses to be built in conflict with the road network that was planned. And that's why we have the majority of these are cleanup items. This plan, it sets a long-term goal for development of roadways within the valley. Every road, you can see these grid alignments. The zoning code, Title 30, requires the dedication of any road that's on a section line, on a quarter section, on a 16th section, and on a 64th section. So that's essentially a road every 660 feet. So that's why in some of these areas, as we were talking about Willow, we already have 30 feet because when people came in to develop, we secured the dedication, whether it was on the transportation element or not, it's a grid alignment. And as a grid alignment, we secure the right of way. So, related to those three, 51 ABC, again, we have some of that right away already. We've lost the higher alignment, which would have connected Moapa Valley Boulevard to Cottonwood. Mm-hmm. And so we looked at an alternative that would provide that connectivity. And with the road network going in a zigzag pattern, the speeds will be reduced as opposed to having a straight through street. I want to address the public notices. So Antonio did speak to Mr. Cleveland. The required notices are required for the Planning Commission. Any items that have been before you, all zoning items that come before you, the notices go out for the Planning Commission. Unfortunately, in certain circumstances, your town board happens, and the notices for this would have gone out last week on Tuesday. It's a card, postcard that goes out to any property owner. I don't have anybody from planning here, so I don't know if they have to touch that right of way or if it's within a certain distance. But those cards go out with, they do have the town board date on it, but they have the Planning Commission and the County Commission date. That's what planning is required to notify on, is the Planning Commission and County Commission. And what that means is that sometimes people don't get the card until Friday, Saturday, today. That's to comply with state law. You all are an advisory body. You're going to make a recommendation to the Planning Commission. And in this case, the Planning Commission is an advisory body, and they will make a recommendation to the County Commission. And the County Commission will have the ultimate decision on what gets approved. Planning Commission is in 3 weeks on June 4th. County Commission is a month and a half after that on July 17th. So there's still opportunities for people to provide comment and for you all to make recommendations for changes, deletions, anything that you all want to do, and those recommendations will be forwarded on. The only thing that can't be done is we can't add anything to this because the notices have already gone out. Mm-hmm. So for example, Pioneer, Swab, any of these streets, Willow, the ones that are brought up as questions, as concerns, we can't expand what we're proposing, but if you have concerns about those and want to make a recommendation that they don't move forward, you can make that recommendation. Okay. Again, what we're doing here, we're not building new roads. We're not taking right away at this time. We're not taking easements. We are establishing a network of roads for Moapa Valley. Some of them obviously are existing. You see the ones that don't have any changes. That's an existing road network that's already been developed. And I believe the last time it was before you was in 2015. The changes that we're making again, a bunch of cleanup and then a few fixes. As we discussed, 51 ABC and then the Pioneer and the Swap. To clean those up and provide connectivity that we believe is needed. There was a concern about leaving things as a dirt road. We're not coming in to build anything. Development in this valley, single family development, is not subject to having to put in full offsite improvements unless it's on a collector or an arterial street, or if your lot sizes are less than 10,000 square feet. So all of these road networks that we're talking about, the 60 foot, the 80 foot, the 60 foot, those are going to stay what we call non-urban streets, where you have 24 to 32 feet of paving, and the rest is dirt. On the collector streets, and I think you all had one 2 weeks ago, I looked at your minutes where the applicant had requested a waiver for
Levitt.
Yeah,
so Levitt and Googler.
Yep.
So they requested a waiver to offset improvements, and it goes to the board next week.
To the board. Next
week. It will most likely be approved. We always recommend denial. The reason we believe full offsites are important is for things that people are talking about. Roads flooding, things getting washed out, full offset improvements would be providing curb gutter, sidewalk, street lights. That curb and gutter is very important for flood control purposes, but not just in Moapa Valley, but in the Las Vegas Valley. The folks that live in these more rural areas don't want the curb gutter and sidewalks. And so the Board of County Commissioners routinely approves those. Let's see. So again, nothing here is a done deal. This list of changes, with whatever you all recommend, goes to the Planning Commission. What is a done deal is we cannot add anything else to it. Mm-hmm. Okay, I just want to make sure that that's clear. We can subtract, we can change what's on the plan, but I can't add any new roadways to what's before you. As far as flood control goes, we actually, the drainage team for the county works in our division. They actually work directly with the Regional Flood Control District. There is a planned facility on the west side of the railroad tracks. As somebody mentioned, it is way down at the bottom of the list, and what that facility will look like is anyone's guess at this point. If the road happens to go in before that facility goes in, our drainage team will decide how that flood control is going to work with the road improvements that go in. If Regional Flood has their project approved, and they'll have to get any kind of necessary right-of-way or easements, and they do that through us, they're not authorized, they're not a political subdivision of the state, so they cannot get their own easements and rights-of-way. They have to go through us to do that. We would then work to secure the necessary rights-of-way easements in order to put that flood control project in. Again, no, unclear what it would look like at this time. Again, we're not putting Pioneer in. We're securing the possibility of having to go in the future. There was a question about 55 and 56, which is Cooper near the airport. So that's already been realigned. Cooper was following or curved and then started to follow this Muffy alignment. So Muffy south of the realigned Cooper will still exist. We have houses, a subdivision that's over there. What we're removing is this small section where Cooper has been realigned, and so that section, Muffy, is not necessarily needed on the transportation element as a mandatory road that would go in. However, if somebody comes in and that road is needed, they decide they want to put that road in, they would certainly have that option. 55 is, again, connecting Cooper, since it's been realigned, to Ramos Ranch, and then back again to Cooper. And you can see where the airport road has been on this element. It's not changing, but that collector, that pink or purple line, whatever color that is, that's the airport road. That's not changing. That's been in existence for quite a while. With that, the gentleman asked the question, can they vacate the right way? Can they get the property back? Absolutely. Anybody can ask to vacate anything, as long as it's not on the transportation element. So if we have a road on this element, so any one of these roads that has a color on it, they cannot vacate that without amending the transportation element. If you want to vacate anything that's not on the element, they can go to the planning department, submit their application, and see what the planning commission does with it. I know you all have been pretty adamant, steadfast about not really losing a bunch of right-of-way and not vacating a lot of right-of-way so that you can look towards the future and make sure that people don't get in a situation where there's one way in and one way out, but anybody can ask for that. So, for example, with Muffy, with that coming off of the element, anybody that owns property adjacent to that, if they want to vacate it, once this element is approved and adopted by the board, assuming that that change stays like that, then they can do the vacation application. And I think that addressed all of the questions. I'll be happy to answer any other questions that you have.
Are there any other questions? Yes. Go ahead.
Just a quick one.
State your name
on
again.
On SWAP.
State your name again.
Jan Schultz, Cottonwood, Overton.
Thank you.
Sorry. You've got red. SWAP is red. South of Cottonwood, that goes down to higher, that area right there. What does the red mean?
You're going to remove it.
You're going to remove that one? The red one's going to be removed?
Correct.
Currently it's a
super duper.
No.
It's saved a couple of houses.
That's probably why they did it.
I want to address the notice thing.
No. No, everybody has the right to have notice, especially the ones on that line that these guys are trying to move. They don't have notice. They're required to have notice. How is this board going to sit up here and make a decision? Does what? I think it's this guy. So you got a notice problem, right? I have to give notice anytime I subpoena somebody for anything. Because you know what? I'm taking just that little right away of that time, up to 7 hours. I think it's this guy back here.
Mine's off.
But that's a problem. Notice, he didn't address notice. I could go all day on notice. I could get into the law with you on notice. Right? Administrative courts, courts of law, federal court. This is not notice. How are you guys going to do this, make a decision for my neighbors that aren't here? Because guess what? She says, what are you talking about? That's a problem. That's a big problem. And they're not just talking about 30 feet. They're talking about taking 30 more feet of my property all the way down. They're talking about taking his property. His property. That's a problem. I want notice. You guys, this is a big problem. So I would ask that you reject it and get notice properly.
Madam Chair, Jason, are you taking people's property?
No, I didn't address notice, right? So notice is not required for the town board. It's a courtesy. Planning tries to get it out as soon as possible for you all. And no, we are not taking anybody's property. If this gentleman comes in to do development in the future, regardless of what happens on this transportation element, because he's on a grid alignment, the dedication will be required. And sir,
you see it differently.
No, I don't see it differently. I just built my house.
After the meeting.
No, I don't want to talk to you after the meeting. I want to voir dire you here.
Okay, this is not a court of law, so.
You know what? You're taking somebody's rights.
Okay, we're not taking your rights. I've explained the notice.
I just built my house. I gave them 30 feet. Now they want to take another 60 feet. I went out and measured it. There's no notice here. This is a problem. He can sit up here all he wants. He just said, he's not a, I'm an attorney. I can tell you what the law is. I'm the only one in here that has a license to tell you what the law is. You have to give somebody notice. That's all I have.
Awesome. All right. Did you get notice?
Cleveland did.
Two of them. I got notice on the one, not on the other.
What's the difference, Jason? Why are some notified and some not?
They may not have gotten the card. It did, so.
So there was no officer's fault.
Yeah, all the notices, planning sends all the notices out.
Not us.
So,
right.
Yeah, planning sends them over to the mailroom. The mailroom prints the notices. They ship them off to the post office. And when they get delivered, they get delivered, right?
Right.
Because this is an advisory body, notice is not required for this meeting, although some people did get their notice in time.
Okay, thank you.
Your agenda, which was posted, is the legal notice for this meeting. But the legal notice that people receive for the transportation element changes are for the June 4th Planning Commission meeting.
I'd like to state that I am at my property. I have a land lease agreement.
Can you state your name, please?
My name is Tom Morris, 1475 Palo Verde Street, reference to 51 B and C, Willow and Palo Verde. I have a wrap around our current... My mortgage is wrapped around someone's previous mortgage, so I received no notice. The previous landowner that doesn't live there here anymore received that notice. So we used to do door hangers is the way we notify people. If they didn't have mail or one way, that was just another way of getting a hold of them. I'd like to have seen a door hanger that let me know what was going on here. You stated that you had right-of-way in Palo Verde all the way to Willow. You do not. There's a 30-foot section. It's an irrigation easement. Palo Verde is a 60-foot roadway. In order to complete Palo Verde's roadway, you're going to have to take another 30 feet, which is my property, which takes out my garage, my driveway, my trees, all that type of stuff. So, really, I just don't see the validation of a collector line in that area. We're going to cut 90 seconds off of people trying to get the downtown Overton versus more up Pinwheel versus cutting down through my neighborhood to create dust and traffic and havoc for our animals, livestock, and crops. It doesn't make sense to me. It really doesn't. Thank you for your time.
Madam Chair, are you going to vote on these individually, or what's your plan?
individually.
Jason, I apologize. Do you want to address that? Are you taking that man's trees?
If you want us to address that. So I didn't catch his address. I'm pulling up the area.
1475.
Give us a minute. We'll pull it up. So for the majority of Palo Verde, we have 60 feet of right-of-way existing.
Right now.
For the majority of it. We do have only... No. We're going to pull up his property and we'll let you know what we have. As far as notices go, again, planning uses, based on state law, they use the owner of record that's with the assessor's office.
That's all they can do.
Yeah, so on this gentleman's property, we already have the right-of-way on Willow. We do not have the right-of-way on Palo Verde. If he were to come in and do some development, he would have to dedicate that right of way. Depending on what he has in that right of way, if it's trees, if it's other type of landscaping, he may be able to keep that. And because we wouldn't be improving the road at this time, but we can talk to him in more detail after the meeting if he'd like.
So if you decide to improve the road, then what happens?
I think we need to step back just a little bit. And you've explained it twice, but I don't think people are getting it. This is a transportation element. It's just connectivity of roads. If you live on a grid line where all the streets are already aligned, if you do development on that property, let's say you divide it, do a parcel map, you will be required to give the right-of-way, whether it's in the transportation element or not. Or you're going to have to get a waiver of development standards so it doesn't get dedicated. That's the process. It doesn't mean when they prove this, they're going to go out and start building roads. That's not happening. We can't get them to pave the roads that we got out here now. But yeah. The point being, even with or without the transportation element, the road dedication will still happen if you develop. As soon as you divide parcels into a parcel map or a subdivision plat, you have to take in consideration all the way down to the 64th. So it's section lines, quarter section lines, right on down the line. And either you get them vacated or you get them dedicated. It's one or the other, whether it's in the transportation element or not. And so this doesn't make, that doesn't change that part of the law. That's still there. All this is showing is this is how we're going to try to make the roads connect currently or in the future if some development is going to happen. Whether that's a good idea or not, I can't go to that part, but I just say it just so we understand that part of it.
And going back to Mr. Levitt, if he just built and has given a 30-foot dedication, that means his 30's already taken. You're not going to take another 30.
He's got roads on two sides. So he had Willow and Palo Verde, and you don't have dedication on one side, but he does on the other.
And there's pain in that when you've had it for a very long time and should not have, but you built in that area. Or you planted trees in that area, or whatever maybe you shouldn't have done, and then you come in to build the house, or you come in to subdivide it, and when they take that right-of-way, you can certainly lose whatever is in that potential right-of-way.
Unless they built it with a permit, and they were allowed to build it there without the right-of-way. Then they would have to make concession for that.
Yeah.
Do you think we should do these separately, or as a whole?
That's up to you, girl. I think we can blanket most of it and then talk about the ones that we have issues with. And say, so we could do the ones with the issues and then blanket the rest of it.
Okay. So the ones with issues are 51A, B, and C.
Madam Chair, Antonio, how have other boards been voting? One vote or each item?
All together.
All together?
We've only done a few.
Tell
so,
more.
Yeah, there's a lot more to do.
Okay.
But the ones that we've done, we did one in Enterprise, and it was all...
Can I ask how many changes in Enterprise?
It wasn't as many as this one.
Three. So three. Probably easier to...
What happened in Moapa? I don't know.
There were also three, and they were quite happy with them.
We had a lot of
We had a lot. We should have had a lot in Moapa.
So Moapa had... If not as many changes as you all, pretty close. but probably less controversial, the Riverview development.
Was it something that Kevin Smedley gave me?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a map.
But you can take them however you want. I think, as you mentioned, there are some that are clean up, and I don't think there's any real concern with those cleanup items. And then if you want to talk about the other ones separately, you can certainly do that.
Okay, so the issue is on 51A, B, and C, right?
Well, 51A's already got a road going down it.
Okay, so 51 B and C.
So it'd be B and C, is what I'm seeing.
Okay. And on the back side?
Well, 51A has a road going down. It houses on both sides.
And B, we have...
you have a right-of-way there.
Right. Correct.
There's nothing built.
Correct.
Okay, that's what I'm just saying.
We have an issue with 55 and 56. Isn't that the other two?
So 55 and 56 is Cottonwood and Ramos Ridge.
So I think the concerns
Muffy
were
Muffy.
Item 46, which is
that
here. Yes.
That alignment's already been changed, has it not?
No, that's proposed tonight.
Which we're talking about, 56?
46, the other page. Pioneer Road, center south of the west of the river.
Yeah, so 46 is a concern. Mm-hmm. No, 51A and B and C were a concern.
Somebody said 44 back then.
So it's up to the board, obviously. You guys are going to take your order.
I don't think anyone talking about 44.
44 is going down from 80 to 60.
Yeah, correct.
That's just reducing the right.
That's giving back.
So the 80's already
there.
That's
a good one.
Right, the 80's already there.
80's going to 60, and so then on 45, that's...
Madam Chair, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. You want to state your name?
What you're doing.
Do you want to state your name, please, and your address?
Curtis Barber, Logandale.
Okay. What's your concern?
Well, I am concerned about giving away anything when there isn't a reason for it at this point in time.
Okay. Specifically, do you have any specific items on here that you're talking about?
The things I've got two of them on 44 and one on 46.
44 is
again,
44 giving
44 is already there at 80. That's existing. We're reducing
they're
it.
They're
reducing it from 80
to
60.
To you.
They're right away.
Okay.
They're giving back 20 feet.
So you opposed to that, or are you okay with that?
I'm okay with them reducing it.
Okay, yes. Good.
Okay.
That was okay.
I didn't understand a lot of what I was reading here.
Okay. Well, that's what the 40's doing. So what's the other one?
46.
46 is Pioneer.
We're going to discuss that one,
Pioneer
too.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the other side of the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're opposed to them having a future right-of-way there someday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because part of what they've talked about is using part of my property on that. It's not in here.
Your property's on the west side of the railroad tracks.
Huh?
Your property's on the west side of the railroad tracks.
No.
Because that's what 46 is about.
46
Pioneer
is Pioneer
road.
On the west side of the mm-hmm. railroad tracks.
Okay.
So that doesn't affect your property. It does.
Well, it joins it.
What street do you live
I've
on?
I've got about a little over 1,000 feet of frontage.
On the railroad track.
Yeah.
And this
but
is on the other
I'm
side.
On the other side.
Right. So they're talking about having a road on the opposite side. They're talking about having a road on the west side of the railroad tracks.
Yeah. And part of what they've talked about doing is going through my property to get to that. Not in here. But that's what they've
So you're talking about Whitworth?
Yeah.
What's
I'm between,
the name of your street?
I have the property between Whitworth and Brothers and over to Rice. I've told my kids that I'd give each of them a couple of acres of the ones that want to build there. And three of them are doing it. But
if you divide it, you can end up putting the road in anyway.
What?
If you divide it, you're going to end up putting a road in there anyway, aren't you?
Not across the railroad tracks.
No. You
that's just, what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
You have a third card up there? What's the third card about? You have a third card? You have three cards in your hand.
Well, two of them are 44.
Oh, two of them are 44.
And one 46.
Is there an answer for that one he was talking about? Which are you going through the middle of his property?
We don't know where he's at.
Okay. Let's help him out.
I told him.
He's at Whitwer.
Between Whitwer and Brother.
Between Whitwer and Brother on the east side of the railroad track.
My property goes over to Rice Street.
So it's Rice, Whitwer, Brothers, Railroad Tracks.
So first off, we're not proposing any roads over the railroad tracks. Any road over the railroad tracks is, when people say an act of Congress, it's more difficult than an act of Congress.
I don't want to make it
because
easy.
Because the railroad has an unbelievable amount of authority.
Got it.
We can pull up his property. We can talk to him about what he's going to be looking at. If he's mapping and he's on any kind of grid alignment, regardless of what happens here tonight, he will have to dedicate the appropriate right of way.
And I understand that.
We need divides.
Okay. Any more questions?
No, that's it.
I'm good. I just want to make sure I knew what he was talking about. Like, I kind of know.
I didn't realize that. You know, that was going to be part of what happened here tonight, was to talk about it. I thought we were just going to listen to what you wanted to do.
No, they're telling us what they want to do.
Sorry, can I get these right back to you?
So,
yes.
And your issue is you don't want Pioneer to go through. I just need to make sure we're...
Greg Cleveland, my issue is that, and what's hard is I do not want the Pioneer, I think, on the west side, not to do anything with that. And I think their misunderstanding is, in talking to Antonio, he said, well, this is already existing road people are driving. And I said, they're not. This is my driveway to my house. And so I think people are looking at this, they're seeing old stuff, and they're assuming. So my recommendation of 46 only is to just exclude any roads, new roads, put in on the west side, wait for the responsible development, and the roads will come in with the flood control. So Pioneer on the south end not to go be put in at this time.
And we were Pioneer to the north, so we're just making the connectivity. There's already dedicated right away.
He's up against the railroad track. He is right here. He's already right here. He goes from Rice to here. I think this is the railroad track.
I'm getting my house right here.
But the dedication's there.
He just doesn't want to give up anything. So he just
talking on the north side. Well, sorry, making that guy.
He divides the south side of Lakers to his kids.
Yes, the south side.
He's going to still have to dedicate it.
Okay, is there any more public comment? Any more questions?
Can you get up and just make a comment?
You can get up and make a comment.
During public comment, you can.
During public comment, you can. Just.
Okay. My name is Robert Schultz, 1265 West Cottonwood. And I talk about flood. It seems to me I can drive around this area and there's plenty of money stuck into ditches covered with lined with cement, gates that can bring water in, but we're having a hard time trying to get water out. Nobody wants, like Cottonwood, all the way down Cottonwood, it's supposed to go underneath the highway, but it gets too higher, I think, and it turns, the water turns to too small pipe, and it irrigation line took over where the ditch was supposed to go to take the water to underneath the highway, because that's the only culprit to it. So it seems to me we ought to be able to find a way to get the water out if we could do this.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm going to close public comment now. Do I hear a motion?
Wow. All right, so right now we have Pioneer, Willow, and Palo Verde.
46, 51 B and C is what I've got.
Did we have any others?
That's what I think that was it.
So Muffy's already realigned. That's fine. Yeah. And Whitworth. If we're not doing Pioneer, we don't need Whitworth. Okay, I'll make a motion. I make a motion that we approve all of the items on this transportation element except item 45, 46, 51B, and 51C, which is Whitworth Avenue off of Rice, Pioneer on the west side of the railroad, Willow Avenue, and Palo Verde. So you got it? So it's 45, 46, 51B, and 51C.
Okay, a motion is on the table for approval of the entire transportation element map except for item 45, 46, 51B, and 51C. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Okay. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. And as a reminder, that goes to June 4th, Planning Commission.
Now, we have general business, the Vegas Valley Four-Wheelers, VV4W, to announce donations to local organizations. Do we have representatives?
Yay! My name is Kevin Bailey, and I'm the president of Vegas Valley Four-Wheelers and also the Hump and Bone Chair. I'm here tonight along with, and if you excuse me, I don't want to put my back to a big crowd, but I have a big voice. I'm here tonight to hand out some checks on behalf of Hump and Bump, which was the first weekend of November back in 2018 when we celebrated our 37th annual event. It has been up here at the Clark County Fairgrounds for approximately the last 10 years, and we've been giving back to the community with the profits from that event. Vegas Valley Four Wheelers is a 501c3 nonprofit club based out of Las Vegas. And at our event last year, we had 188 vehicles and approximately 325 people that were either commuting back and forth from Vegas or staying up at the fairgrounds for our event at the same time as the Pound and Graminid Festival. We love Logandale Trails. Anybody that off-roads in a full-size vehicle knows that we call this our backyard. And we are very gracious and thankful that we have the community up here that welcomes us. So tonight, I'm here to hand out some checks. And I have some of our fellow board members, officers, sponsors with me tonight. So I'm going to ask them to come up and hold some of these checks so we can see where the money is going. Jonathan, would you please come up? Jonathan owns All Hose in Las Vegas and was one of our Rock God sponsors this year. And I'm going to ask him to hold the check for the Logandale Fire Department that we wrote tonight for $1,750. Nice. Jeff Jorgensen was last year's Hump and Bump Chair and many years prior. And I'm going to ask Jeff to hold the check for the $100 for the Friends of Metro. And you can see from the check that we gave them last year, they have that beautiful, they used to help with that side-by-side.
I'm gonna give it, put a comment there.
$1,000. And for the Capital Apple Family Center, I have a $1,000 check. Elise, would you please come up and hold this check too? For me, the Partners in Conservation.
Okay.
I would like you to hold that one because I'm going to hold yours last.
Okay.
We also are giving away $1,000 to the One October Front.
Yeah.
Okay.
funny and not building it, I repeat that, Mike.
We have a check here for $750 going to the Blue Ribbon Coalition, which help keeps our trails open and is our public voice. Thank you. We have a check for over $500 to UPLO, which is the Utah Public Lands, which keeps all of that area open because we love Sand Mountain and Sand Hollow also. We have the Tread Lightly, which is a $500 check going out to them, which keeps our trails open. One more. And Terry, would you like to hold a check for behalf of Partners in Conservation that we wrote for $4,500?
Yay, Elise. Yay.
We put a lot of time and effort to make this event happen. The two N people have done it for many, many years and have passed that on. And I'm very happy that it's now underneath my work. I don't know what to use the
words
right here.
We're leaving it in good hands.
In good hands, but I've had some great people. Without the people up here supporting us, we wouldn't have this money to give back. Chris, would you hold the blank check that I have? Because we are going to be back next year. Because we're coming up this year, the first weekend in November, to put on an event once again at the Fairgrounds and the Logandale Trail System. So I've got a blank check that we're going to be able to fill up next year, because the people coming up are going to be able to donate to our event so we can do this all over again. So thank you. Without you supporting us, we can't do what we do. So thank you.
I don't go anywhere.
I'm going to get next to John. I want to stay in somebody looks scared.
Sorry, this picture is so big.
You need us to get out of your way?
No.
No, we want people from the community. And we like you too.
I will just say, Virgin Valley, Megan, I'm still rattled. thank you very much. But Partners in Conservation has worked with many groups for almost 20 years, and there is no group that gives back to this community like Vegas Valley Four Wheeler does. And the most important thing that they do, they never pat themselves on the back for or get credit for, but they mentor literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other newcomers to off-roading. They take them out, they teach them how to do responsible use, how to be safe and everything.